The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me.
Well, good morning. We're going to focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. We're in week 6 of a series that we have entitled My Verse. And in this series, what we've been hearing from the leaders, the pastors of our church, who have been sharing about a Bible passage and a Bible verse that has impacted their lives. We've been hearing their stories. We've been seeing how it's impacted them. And here's what we believe. We believe that the Bible can change our lives, that it can help us with our lives. And as we've been going through this series, what we've been hoping and praying for you is that there would be a Bible verse, a Bible passage that would impact you, something that you could claim as your my verse. Now, for today, we've entitled this message, Refocus, because we're looking to answer this question. What should we do when we are worried and have anxiety? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your Bible apps or your paper Bible. We're going to be turning together to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. And if you don't have a paper Bible or a Bible app on your phone, you can follow along with the words up on the screen. Now, when you came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill in the blanks. The answers will be up on the screen as we go through this message. And we highly encourage you to keep these notes. On the backside, there's a way how you can contact any of the pastors, find out who the pastors are here at Focus Church. Gives instructions. You've been hearing us talk about the Church Center app. You can instructions on how to download that and how to get involved here at Focus Church. And we encourage you to take the notes, too, so that later on this week, you would pull them back out. You'd reread the passage for yourself. You'd look through this to make sure what we're saying the Bible says is also what the Bible actually says. We want you to know the Bible for yourself, so we encourage you to do that. I'd like to say hi to those who are watching online. Thanks for watching with us, and we're glad you're watching with us, but we want to know who is watching with us. If you wouldn't mind, take a moment right now to write in the comments. Tell us who you are and where you're watching from, and our hosts will be happy to greet you there. Thanks for watching. So we're looking at Luke chapter 10, and something we need to know about Luke chapter 10 is that this is in the middle of Jesus doing his ministry. He has his disciples. They're traveling from town to town, and when they come to one of these towns, they get an invitation. And that's where we're picking up today's story, starting in verse 38. So Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, it says this. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all the details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would help us. Help us to understand what it means to be worried, what it means to have anxiety, but more importantly, how do we get through it with your help? God, we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen, amen. So there's been some studies done about fear. And did you know that the fear of public speaking is the number one fear that everyone has? More than spiders, more than snakes, more than death. Now, how many of you right now, you'd be like, if I was picking somebody from this group to come be the speaker today up here on the stage, you'd be like, do not pick me. Yeah. Like, I that would be like the worst thing that could happen to me. And yet we've been going through this series. We've been saying, hey, all our pastors need to come up and they need to present. And I'm not the person that's supposed to be speaking today, am I? Because we've been saying it's Pastor Nikki who's going to be preaching. And Pastor Nikki is our newest pastor. She just came on board a little over a month ago as our associate children's pastor. She also serves on our team as our administrative assistant for our lead pastors. And when she heard it, she was in one of her first meetings here, and I announced, hey, everyone's going to get a Sunday to speak. And she's like, well, everyone except me, right? And I'm like, well, did we just say that you were a pastor here at Focus Church and all the pastors are going to say? I mean, so it's kind of been on purpose that we've been saying, hey, everyone's going to get to speak, but you know what? We're not mean. We're not going to throw her under the bus. We're actually going to help her. Like, we want her to have the opportunity. And so last night was the very first time she's ever spoken in front of anyone. And so, yeah, continue. Put your hands together. I'm inviting Pastor Nikki. Come up to the stage. Let's do this. Pastor Nikki, we're glad you're here. And hopefully it's getting a little easier each time we're doing this. This is now the third time we've asked her to come up here. And, you know, she threatened to quit. You know, if we were going to force her to speak this weekend. But you see, I do believe that all of us on our journey, as we follow God and as we read God's word, there is a portion of God's word that's always going to jump out of us that's going to mean something. And I believe today we're going to hear a powerful my verse that's from Nikki's heart as far as what's impacted her and her life's journey. So in order to do that, Pastor Nikki, we need to know just a little bit about you. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and about your family?
I'm Pastor Nikki. I have an awesome husband that is in the sun booth at the moment, and I have a beautiful 1.5-year-old who is very sassy. And we are
you don't say, right?
Yeah. And we are currently expecting, and we will have another baby coming January.
Yeah. Now, I've heard Brinley answer this question, that she believes that you're going to have a boy. Do you know what you're going to have?
I do not. I find out this week, but I'm hoping it's a boy because I have enough sass with my daughter.
There you go. Oh, man. So that means we're going to have to find out soon if it's a boy or a girl and celebrate with you.
It's going to be kept a secret for a little bit.
Oh, man. We have to wait. Oh, man. So I guess we'll find out on Facebook. On some reveal party or something, right?
Yep.
Okay, sounds good. It's probably going to be some T-shirt on Brinley, right? Who knows? But anyways, you know, so we're excited that you have joined the team. You serve Focus Church as our associate children's pastor, which means you're like the assistant children's pastor serving our kids downstairs, and that's why we don't normally see you up here. And she was really certain that when God called her to be a children's pastor, that all she would ever have to do was talk to kids. And we said, sorry, if the word pastor is associated with your title, it's like for everyone. And so, yeah, so we forced her to be here under threat of life or death. You know, so we're glad that she's here, that she gets to share with us today. And so, Nikki, tell me about just kind of growing up, kind of a little bit of your life story, kind of growing up and what you experienced.
I had a little rough growing up. My earliest memories are of my dad and my mom, but my mom was a severe alcoholic, and I have not seen her since 2008. So it was just me and my brother and my dad, and then my mom and dad divorced. And my dad got remarried, and it was going good. We were happy, and I was trying to keep the peace, keep everyone happy, keep my brothers and my sister happy. And then I got the experience to go to Spencer Lake Camp. And I was super happy. I could get away from my family, from everything.
That's where the kids are going tomorrow
that
to camp.
That is where they're
same
going.
Place. Yeah.
Yep. And then I came back, and my world crashed to the ground. I found out my mom and my stepmom were divorcing. My house flooded. I lost my house, and it's the last time I saw my mom. And then my dad got remarried again. And that wasn't much better. My stepmom only cares about her own two kids and didn't care about me or my other siblings. So I was trying to keep the peace and be.
So if I get this right, so lots of turnover in the house, no stability, lots of changes. So it was just you and your brother, but you now have step-siblings.
Yep, there's six of us total.
Six of you total. Are you the oldest?
Yes, I am.
The oldest, okay. So what was it like to grow up in this environment? You're the oldest. You're kind of leading the group. Yep. How did that affect you?
Just trying to keep the peace. I was always worrying about making sure my dad was telling me what I should do to keep the peace. I would keep my siblings happy, stay away of my stepmoms because they were always mad about something. I was doing something wrong. I wasn't doing this right. And I was just always saying sorry, keeping my brothers and sisters happy, doing what I need to do on the side.
Now, I can imagine that that would actually be very stressful to live in an environment like that and feel like you got to keep everyone happy. Did you worry?
Yes, all the time.
All the time. Wow. And so at least, though, growing up in an environment like that, when you became an adult, probably all those worrying and all those things you did to try to make sure the peace is happening, it probably all went away, right?
Worrying stuck with me. I just worried about different things, school, work, just kept worrying.
I see. So worrying just stays with you. It's coming to your adult life. And really, I think what we need to understand first about worrying is when we focus on everything that could go wrong. That's what worrying is. And we focus on everything that hasn't happened yet. And our brain always defaults to the negative things. It just like, that's what it does. And this is not that it's actually happened or anything, but it's like our brain says, oh no, I can't stop thinking about this could go wrong. This could go wrong. This, I can't even pull my eyes away from it. Like I can't unlook. Kind of reminds me when I see those, I go to those Jurassic movies, you know, and they got the dinosaurs chasing the people, and you know at some point in the movie, there's some guy who's not the lead character who's running along, and the dinosaur is coming, and you know what's about to happen. The dinosaur is about to eat it, and they're going to show you the dinosaur eating a person. It's going to be traumatic, but you can't look away, right? It's like, I can't stop watching this, and I know it's going to happen. And our brains do the same thing, too, when it comes to situations in our lives that it tends to start focusing on everything negative that could go wrong. And that's what worrying is, focusing on the negative, things that haven't happened yet. And if we do that enough, it starts to affect us physically. And that's what anxiety is. Anxiety is our body reacting to what hasn't happened yet, that like it's as if it happened. Now, for Nikki, for you, if you're saying you spend all this time worrying, would you say that it affected you physically? Is anxiety a part of your life?
Physically and mentally, yep. I was up, wasn't able to sleep. I was pacing. I was worrying, not able to sleep.
Now, I would imagine with as many people as we have in the audience today, even people watching online, that this is actually a pretty common thing, that there are other people who experience exactly what you've experienced of just worrying or trying to keep being stressed about things, whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's finances, relationships, future, health issues. There's so many things in our lives that we can begin focusing on, and our brain, again, remember, our brain tends to default to focusing on the negative. That's what worry is, focusing on the negative things that haven't happened. Which, this isn't in the notes, but do you know what the opposite of worry is? Faith. Faith is actually focusing on the positive things that haven't happened yet. And so we kind of, on opposite extremes, we have faith saying focus on the positive things that haven't happened, and worry is focused on the negative things that haven't happened. But it does affect us, and it does overwhelm us, and it does affect us physically. Now, Pastor Nikki, you picked out this passage and talking about Martha and having Jesus over. Can you tell us kind of why this passage would be a passage you would say, I related to it, that this passage impacted me?
I felt like Martha. I was always distracted. I wasn't focused on what I need to be. I was worried about the small things, keeping my siblings happy, keeping me happy, keeping my dad happy, and was just going through the motions and that just added to the worry.
I can only imagine. Like, imagine if you will, imagine Jesus showed up today, and Jesus is our guest speaker today, and you get a chance to shake hands with Jesus, and you get to say, "Hey, Jesus, you want to come over for a barbecue at my house this afternoon?" You know, you're kind of thinking, maybe will he say yes or no? And when he says, "Why, sure, I'm coming to your house today," you'll be like, "Yes, I'm excited," and in panic, like, "Oh my gosh, I gotta run home before he gets there. Like, I don't even know what state my house is in right now, and all the details of cleaning it, and oh, I don't have enough food, and I want to prepare the best." And there's lots of details. So you can imagine what's going through Martha's mind of, "I got Jesus in my house." Now, luckily, she's got a roommate, her sister, who's supposed to be helping her. And she wasn't. And she was just sitting there. Like you don't understand. There is so many details. There's so many things that we're not even going to get through this. This is going to, like, everything's going to crash them down. It's going to be the worst experience ever, and you're not helping. She's got to be frustrated. And, in dealing with worry and dealing with anxiety all your life, would you say, Pastor Nikki, that you mentioned that this has carried over into your adult life, and has it gotten better over time or has it gotten worse?
It gotten worse until recently. It gotten better, but it was worse for a good few weeks. When I first found out I was pregnant, I couldn't sleep. I just felt sick. I would pace and pace, and just I couldn't grab myself out of these panic attacks I was having. And I went on for weeks and days, and it turned into months, and I just couldn't snap out of it. So I reached out to Pastor Shelley, and we talked, and then just randomly she sent me a verse, which is my verse. And then I was sitting here one day. I didn't sleep. It was a Sunday morning, and I was exhausted. I was trying to feed Brinley here breakfast, and I just put my head down, and Pastor Ryan came up, and he was like, "Are you okay? Do you need prayer?" And I'm like, "Yes, I'm just exhausted mentally, physically. I need prayer." And he prayed over me.
So you got help, yep. Or help came because you were part of a family. And that's something that's important, why we always talk about this being the focus family, that we look out for each other. Because we don't know what each other's going through. And here we have someone who's part of our family who has issues with worry and anxiety and trying to please everyone, but just not being able to dismiss what's in her mind. And it's elevated to the point of panic attacks and sleepless nights going on for weeks and weeks. And but you said a key was that Pastor Shelley gave you a verse. And this verse became your my verse. Like, this is the verse you've held on to. So I think it's important for us to take a look at what this verse is. And it's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And it says this: "Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done." How did reading this scripture help you?
I would just read it, and I would be able to refocus on God, not on the worry, not on the panic attacks, not what was going through my mind at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. I would just pull up the verse and just read it, and God, focus on God.
Yeah, well, sometimes I think, though, we can do a bad thing being a part of a church family where we see somebody struggling, and we can take a scripture like this and we can kind of throw it out there like, "Why aren't you just doing this?" You know, so it just says pray. And when it's a reality of I am struggling in my brain, I can't turn it off. I can't, like, it's just constantly focused. I can't turn it off. And if someone just flippantly says, "Stop worrying," like, yes, like, I can turn it off. Switch. That's not how it works. And then they say, "Oh, just pray." Like, that's going to help, right? But in this scripture, in this my verse, there's actually a blueprint for how to go about this. Like, pray about what? And so looking at it says, first, stop worry, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. That's what the prayer should be. Tell God what you need. So that means all those things you're thinking about, that's what you're doing. So I imagine as you're up in the middle of the night and you're thinking about this verse and you're thinking, I got to pray, that you're probably telling God what you need. What were some of those things you were telling God that you needed?
I was telling God to take this fear, take this panic, anxiety, whatever this is, this morning sickness that I'm having, just take it away, God. I just need to fully focus on you. Just take it away. And I'll just repeat and repeat and repeat. Take my worry, take my pain, take my anxiety away.
Yeah. Going back to Luke chapter 10, you got Martha who just said to Jesus, tell her to come help me. I got all these things. And God's response, Jesus' response, wasn't exactly what Martha expected. Because he said, Martha, you're worried too much. Your sister Mary has found the one thing that's worth being concerned about. She's discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, what's interesting about this passage, you and I were discussing this passage and how this passage can help us in our lives. Jesus never says what the one thing is. He says that Mary has found the one thing. He doesn't tell Martha what the one thing is. And so it kind of leaves it up for us to figure out what is the one thing. I'm so glad that God gave us brains, that sometimes we got to figure out some things. And as we're looking at this, Pastor Nikki, I want to ask you, what is it that Mary discovered, the one thing worth being concerned about?
I think Mary, when she was sitting at his feet, realized the peace, the calm. She was hanging on to every word. She wasn't worried about the distractions behind her, the stuff that needed to be done. She was just focusing on God and listening to what he has to say. And she
focusing
had
on
peace
Jesus.
And calm.
Right. So that's what she discovered, a focus that was on Jesus. And that, I mean, again, like, remember, we just imagined for a moment what it'd be like to have Jesus come over to our barbecue this afternoon. But imagine he's at your house and what it would be like to sit there. Maybe he's in the recliner in the living room, right? And he's just talking to everybody, and you're sitting there on the floor because you want everyone else to have the seats on the couch. And can you imagine what it'd be like? What his voice would sound like? What it'd be like to experience his smile? Just to hear the words he was saying and how they ministered to your heart. I mean, I can just imagine that would be, like you said, calming, peaceful. And that's what Mary had discovered. And Jesus saying that's the one thing to be concerned about, to be focused on him, and that it wasn't going to be taken away from her. Now, if we go back to this Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, our my verse for today, it's saying this blueprint for what we got to do is the key to it is to refocus on Jesus. This is the main key, to refocus on Jesus, that no matter what's happening, he's saying, stop worrying, pray. In order to pray, what do we do for praying? We've got to tell God what we need. So we're telling our mind, we're telling our body, we're telling our soul, our spirit to refocus this moment, refocusing. But that wasn't the only thing that the scripture says. The first part, yes, is to pray and to ask God. But the second part of it, it says, praise God for everything he's done. Thank God for everything he's done. To have this heart of gratitude. And really, when I look at the scripture passage, Pastor Nikki, on the second part, when it says, thank God for everything he's done, that's like literally the definition of worship. When we worship, when we praise God, we are thanking God for who he is and for what he's done. So we've been given a blueprint here on how do we deal with worry, how do we deal with anxiety. First, we stop it. We pray. How do we pray? We tell God what we need, and we need to worship. And the worship needs to include thank God for what he's done. Was worship involved with any of this that helped from this life verse here?
Yes, it was. Yep. I actually joined a mom's life group here, and I expressed I needed prayer for this, for my anxiety. I just am struggling. And a mom at Focus Church reached out to me and said, here's a worship playlist that helped me. So in my nights when I was up pacing and praying, I would just turn on this worship music and continue to pray. And it slowly got better, and now I just turn on the worship music whenever I feel like I'm going to start worrying or panicking and pray to God and refocus.
Yeah, that's great, because we should never underestimate the power of worship. and how it affects us in this, that this is a key component of how do we battle worry in real, tangible ways. Now, in looking at this idea of refocusing, I want everyone to do something with us real quick here. I want you to grab your phone, pull your phone out. Everyone here probably has a phone. Grab your phone and pull up the camera app. Almost every phone now has a camera app. And I want you to zoom in on Nikki and I like you're going to take a picture. And actually, in a minute, you're going to take a picture. But we're taking a picture of you. Now here's the thing how cameras work nowadays. Because they've taken the whole concept of photography and tried to make it as easy as just pushing a button. And so the camera's doing a lot of things, and that's why we call it a smartphone here. It's trying to do a lot of things to imagine what it is you're trying to do. And so as you're zooming in, as you're trying to figure out, your camera's actually doing some work to say, I'm trying to figure out what you're trying to take a picture of. And sometimes it focuses on the right thing, and sometimes it doesn't. That's part of the autofocus feature of your camera. And if it's not focusing on the right thing, in order for it to focus on the right thing, you take your finger and you point to the thing on the screen that you want it to focus on. So right now, take your finger and point at Pastor Nikki, because you want to focus on a picture of Nikki, not on me, to make sure you got a focused picture. And go ahead and take a picture. There you go. See, here's what just happened, is that when the focus was in the wrong spot, you pointed to where the focus needed to be. And in our lives, when our brain, when our body, our mind is focusing on the wrong thing, trying to do its autofocus, its default, it's up to you to say, I need to point it in the right direction. I got a point to say, no, we're going to focus on this instead. We got to refocus, rewire our brain. It doesn't mean we're ever going to stop worrying, but this is the blueprint for doing this. And Pastor Nikki, what I find interesting about your my verse here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, is that it's actually a part of a bigger promise from God. And when we talk about promises from God here at Focus Church, we have been noticing that most promises from God are if-then statements. And what that simply means is that God says, I will do this if you do this. So if you do this, I will do this. If-then. Okay? A lot of times in life, we want the then. It's like, God, just give me this. And we don't understand, why isn't God giving me this? I want this. I really, really want this. And God's just like, if you do this, you get it. Yes, you get this if you do this. Now, in this particular passage, there's an extra layer going on because it's talking about worry. It's talking about anxiety. And it's saying, first, stop. Stop worrying. And then it says what to do. Pray and worship. And that's what verse 6 says. But if you were to continue reading in verse 7, God gives a promise. So if you're dealing with worry, you're dealing with anxiety, you want to stop, refocus. How do we refocus? We pray. What do we pray for? Tell God what we need. What do we also do? We worship. What is worship? Thank God for all he has done. And if we do those things, if we do it, verse 7 is our promise. And here's what verse 7 says. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So God's promise is if you do these things to help your worry and anxiety, you're going to experience peace. And it's not going to be explainable. You're not going to be able to understand why you feel peace, but you're going to feel it. It's going to be there. And I think that's also the one thing that what Mary was experiencing that day, sitting at the feet of Jesus, who's sitting in the chair or on the couch in the living room, was that she was feeling peace that she couldn't even understand. Now, I'm going to ask you, Pastor Nikki, you're saying this verse helped you. You began doing the things. You were praying. You were telling God what you need. You involve worship music to refocus your brain. So I have to ask, did God come through on the promise side?
Yep. Just like how Mary stopped what she was doing and sat at the feet. I Once I stopped, I prayed, I turned on worship, and I refocused. I felt peace and calm in the last few months. I feel like I've changed as a person. I've grown closer to God. I've read more of my Bible and delved more into worship than ever before.
So it's had a lasting effect.
Yes.
I think that's worthy of God getting the praise for that. What do you think? Yeah. God's awesome that he came through. Now, Nikki, we mentioned earlier that you're probably not the only one who in our family here who deals with worry, who deals with anxiety. And here you have exposed in God's word kind of a blueprint plan for what to do. So if there was somebody here that's in this audience or someone who's watching online that's dealing with the same stuff, what's something you would want them to know? What would you say, this is what you got to do? What would you say to them?
Don't do life alone. Find someone to talk to. Reach out to a pastor or another leader and just ask for prayer, ask for worship. Just reach out, and they'll be able to help you refocus on God.
Yeah, and that is the key. Refocus. You got to refocus, and we keep on doing it. We keep on doing it. I imagine that Nikki probably had some panic attacks and some anxiety and some worry about coming up here on the stage to be in front of you. And I also imagine she probably dealt with it, right? Like saying, God, I need your help. God, like burn the building down or something so I don't have to come, right? tell him what you need, right? but it's been amazing, Pastor Nikki, to have you up here on stage. 3 services this weekend sharing her story. Let's give it up for Pastor Nikki, thanking her for her My Verse today. We don't have to worry, but it's what our bodies, it's what our brains do. It focuses on the negative. And once it starts going down that path, it's hard to stop it. But here we've got a plan straight from the heart of God of how to deal with this. And we just heard a story of somebody we all know who it worked for, that God's real and that God can make a difference and his promises are true. Because her My Verse said that, hey, if you're worrying, stop, pray, tell God what you need, thank him for everything that he's done, and then I'm going to give you peace that you can't even explain. And I can tell you, I'm firsthand witness to see that Nikki has changed. She's changed as a result of walking in this. And if you're in the same spot too, you can experience that peace as well. That today could be the day that it starts changing. Today can be the day that you start giving it to God. Today can be the day that your eyes are open to, whoa, I didn't know that God had a plan for this. And maybe I'm not so different and so weird from everyone else that other people experience the same thing that I am. But today can be the day that you experience freedom in this area. To experience peace, that's God's promise for you. But it starts with stopping, praying. What's prayer? Tell God what you need. Involve worship. And then see him bring peace that's unexplainable. I want to pray for you today. And as I'm praying for you guys, if you would say today, I want to be one of those ones today that experience a difference, that I want to let go. I want to start giving this to God. I want to be set free from this worry and anxiety that has me locked up. Then while I'm praying, I want you to begin that prayer of what Philippians 4:6 talks about. Start telling God what you need. Now, you can do it as a whisper. You can do it as thoughts in your head. God can hear it. But while I'm praying, have the faith. Faith. Remember, I said faith is the opposite of the worry. Faith to concentrate on what could be, the good that could be. Have the faith to say, God, I need help. God, help me refocus. God, I give it to you. God, I give my kids to you. God, I give my finances to you. God, I give my career to you. God, I give my health to you. God, I give my resources to you. Whatever it is that has you up at night, give to him today. And then after prayer, we're going to have a time of worship. And I believe there's going to be people here, both in person, online, you're going to experience that peace that God promises in Philippians chapter 4. And so let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray today. God, I'm so thankful that you care about us, that you know exactly what we're going through, and I'm so thankful that your word has answers. God, I believe there's many of us who deal with stress, anxiety, worry. It overwhelms us. It paralyzes us. It affects us physically. But God, we heard a story today in Pastor Nikki that you can make a difference, that you can set us free, that you can bring peace that we can't even explain. That's your promise. If we'll stop, we'll pray to you. And God, I believe there's people here today, there's people watching online who want to experience that. And so we're encouraging those who want to experience it to begin praying to you, God, to begin giving to you, God, what it is that they need, whatever it is. So start talking to God right now. Whisper it or say it in your head. Start telling God, start giving him what it is that keeps you up, what it is that you're worried about. Tell him right now. This is the beginning of God's promise coming through. We give it to God. We pray. Tell him what we need. God, we thank you for the change that you're bringing about today. That the load that we feel on our shoulders, the weight we feel in our minds, God, I pray that you begin to release that. That you begin to provide freedom. God, let us have hope that it can be different. This isn't your plan. Help us to begin to replace worry with faith, to not focus on everything that could go wrong, but to focus on what could go right. Help us, God, today. Be with us today. Set us free. We give you our worries. We give you our anxieties. We give you our stress. We give it to you, God. Bring your peace. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that we said at the beginning of this that if you came looking for hope, we said hope is found in Jesus, and that we give you the opportunity at the end to receive that hope, and here we are. God loves you. God cares about you. God has a plan for you. But you know what? We can't approach God by ourselves because we're not worthy. We can't be forgiven by ourselves. And God knew that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God loved us so much that he sent his son to pay the price for us, for our sin. And that whoever believes in him will be saved. He sent Jesus not to start a religion, not to be a good leader, a good teacher, or to perform some miracles, but on a mission to make it possible for us to be forgiven for our sins from God, to be able to be set free, to become part of God's family, to be able to spend eternity with God in heaven, to have mission and purpose while we're on this earth. We're not talking about that life becomes all butterflies and roses and rainbows. We're talking about purpose, meaning, mission. We're talking about not being alone. We're talking about growing and following. We're talking about a real God who sets people free. We're talking about a real God who comes through with his promises, but it first starts with saying yes to him. You may say, Pastor, how do I say yes to him? What do I got to do? Well, the Bible describes that there's two parts to this. There's a private, personal part that involves a conversation with God and a decision. We call that prayer. And then there's a very public part where we let other people know about the private part that already took place. And we do that through being water baptized. And we talked about water baptism earlier. It's coming up. But we're focusing right now on that first part, that private, personal part, that conversation with God and that prayer. And in that prayer, that conversation, we recognize we're not worthy. We say we're sorry. We believe and say, God, we believe that you sent Jesus to pay the price. We claim what he did for us. And we decide to say, God, I'm going all in. I'm making you the boss of my life. It's as simple as that. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to help you pray that prayer. So I'm going to pray it out loud in bite-sized pieces. And I'm going to encourage you to pray it out loud, repeating after me. But you're not going to have to pray it alone. And see, I'm going to ask the entire Focus family to pray with us because this is what we do. This is the most important thing on why we exist. We exist to help people find God's place in their life. And so that's why we take this moment to find hope, to put God as the boss of our lives. And so let's pray right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.